This is the Home Improvement Show with Frank Cohn on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Good morning. And it's a little chilly out there this morning, but it's not raining anymore. And for those of you who have concrete block foundations in older homes, you may want to check your basements because they're the most ones that are prone to leak. So if you haven't gone down, check, see if you've got any water damage, because boy, we had a lot of rain. And same with, I guess, checking your roofs and make sure you've got nothing in coming in from there. Anyways, this is the Home Improvement Show. This is where you have an entire hour to call in, get any of your home improvement questions answered. Phone number is 416-872-1010. Long distance, 1-877-518-5151. Or as always, you can text at 71010. And again, for those of you looking for the names, the numbers, the people I use or recommend, you can go to my website at Frank's Contacts iHeartRadio. They're all listed according to categories. I know there's been a problem with that website, and I don't know whether they've been able to fix it or update it yet. But if you go there and you don't find everybody listed, then you don't need to text me and tell me they are working on it. Again, if there's ever a problem with any of these people, you give me a shout at the office and I'll do my best to address your concerns. And for those of you who still like to call after the show to get questions answered or looking for referrals, I do not return those phone calls because, again, you have a whole hour here to do it. I have Chris Pontarini here from Bernie Electric, and we always get tons of calls for people wanting electrical questions answered, and I'll get him on in a minute. But just a brief note from Frank's Garage. May 11th is the opening of our car show. That's the Mississauga Classic Car Club. We meet every Saturday at the Dixie Outlet Mall, which is at Dixie and the QEW. Gates open around 4:30 for people who want to bring their cars, and any car of any age, any vintage is welcome. If you're coming just to see the cars, the best time to show up is usually around 7 o'clock because by then almost everybody's there. And for those of you who have been there before, the first week at this point, we are not going to be in the front parking lot, which is right, you can see it right from the QEW and Dixie. We're going to be in the back parking lot behind the mall, which is a little difficult to find because they're having a big circus in the other parking lot. Also, I am, and I know for those of you who know me, you won't believe I'm saying this, I am selling a car. The 73 Buick Riviera GS is up for sale if anybody's interested. And the reason being is I want to buy another car that one of our listeners and people who show up at the car show wants to sell me. So I've got to sell one to get another one because I don't have any more room to add another one to the fleet. So anyone's interested, they can give me a shout. Okay, let's go back to the Home Improvement Show and welcome Chris Pontarini from Bernie Electric. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Frank. Thanks for having us on the show again. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, and we always get great results when you're on. And why don't we start off by talking about your signature electrical service inspection that you do?
So our signature service, that's the Electrical Risk Assessment. We also call it the ERA. And this is like a perfect tool for homeowners if they're concerned about the state of what their electrical system is in their house, if they're interested in buying a new house, if they're interested in selling their house. This is a perfect platform to just identify where the state of your electrical system is at. So what we do is we go inside the house. We start at the main panel. We look at the meter base coming in from the street. We look at all the conduits to make sure there's no cracking or separation outside. We inspect the entire panel. We look for loose connections in the panel, any type of code infractions that, you know, renovations over the years or, you know, homeowner just quick fixes to get things going. So we identify all the hazards there. And once we're done the panel, we go room by room throughout the entire house and we identify everything electrical, like so any light switches, receptacles, light fixtures. We check everything. And what we're looking for is just like destroyed devices, whether like the cover plate smashed in, maybe it's just old and neglected and just needs a little bit of attention. So what we use is state-of-the-art equipment. We have infrared thermal cameras, circuit analyzers, retention testers. We use all these tools, and they tell us a lot of the information that we need to know about where the state of the house is. So, like, for example, we can plug in a circuit analyzer into a receptacle and see what the resistances are like, make sure the voltage is right, that it's actually grounded. A lot of the time we find receptacles that aren't grounded. Another thing is, in the older homes, GFI protection and arc fault protection wasn't a very common thing. But now that we see that a lot of people do get shocks in kitchens and bathrooms, we like to make sure that everybody's got their GFI protection up to date. And even with the panels, a lot of the times we see you have like the old glass fuses, or you'll have like the early line of breaker panels. And there was a lot of recalls and issues with these. So we can identify all these issues, and if you have any aluminum wiring or knob and tube wiring in your house, we can also identify that and you know, give you ideas how to remedy these problems. And so when we're done with the whole house, we generate a report, and it's a very detailed report with pictures and itemized issues that we find in each room. So it's broken down into categories. So we start at the panel, go through each room in the house. So any issues that we see in each room, there's pictures there. There's a list of ways we can remedy this, whether it's a mild hazard or a really, really big, important hazard. And so what we do is we just identify this all in the report, and the homeowners get these, and then they can decide what they got to do to bring their house up to code. A lot of other things we do, too, is we can talk about generators, EV chargers, a lot of the fun stuff. So it's not all about the dangerous stuff in your house. So if you're, you know, if we're going through your house and maybe you want to upgrade some pot lights, or maybe you're interested in getting an electric vehicle, so we can all look at that and just list all the things that we can do to accommodate your needs.
Chris, you just set a new record of talking for 7 minutes without taking a breath.
There we go. Another record, eh?
There's only one other person I listen to on the station that does that. I think that's John Torrey. I listen to him, and he'll start talking, and I thought, okay, take a breath already. Okay, Chris, I've got tons of calls and lots of electrical texts here, so we're going to jump right to the phones, and let's start with Brian in Toronto. Good morning. You're on the Home Improvement Show.
Good morning. I want to get insulation done in my home, up in the attic area, so I can get a rebate. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I got two different providers come to the house, and one vendor said, "Hey, the from your bathroom fan, there's a tube that goes to the attic, and it's empty. Like it's not attached to anything." But not to worry. I mean, your gable vent works, and so you should be fine. You just need insulation. And then I got another provider come in, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, that tube coming out of your or the pipe coming out of your
that's the exhaust vent." And the first guy who said it's not a problem is, with all due respect, is a total moron, because all you're doing is dumping all that moisture into the attic, which is not good. Plus, it'll cause your roof deck to start rotting out. So right off the bat, I would eliminate him. In terms of doing insulation, how old is the house?
It's 1930s.
Okay. My recommendation to you, and this is, again, it depends on what your budget is, because if you currently have any insulation in there, it's probably pretty disgusting. Every attic has mice. It's full of mice crap and urine and everything else. I would get all that old stuff taken out first. Then the next step, again, this will depend on your budget, is I do a lot of them where we do the 2-pound spray foam first. They do maybe an inch or 2 inches first, which completely seals the ceiling, and then blow in either the cellulose or the blown-in fiberglass over top of that. That ducting from your exhaust fan should be directed to a dedicated roof vent that's designed for that particular duct. It should not be either left in the attic open or put into one of the existing roof vents. It also needs to be insulated. So I would also recommend you get maybe two more quotes from two people I use regularly who know how to do this properly. One is Let It Rain, And the other one is George Kent Home Improvements, and they're both listed on my website.
Okay, and so the one said that because my soffit, I guess, is likely sealed, then I do need that second vent.
Yeah, well, again, I know, put this way, Let It Rain specializes in doing attic audits, so they can go in there and see exactly what's going on in there. Actually, I think George Kent does that as well, and they can make sure that that attic is properly vented, maybe either by soffits or additional roof vents on the roof deck or whatever it needs.
Great. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Very helpful.
Okay, Brian, good luck with your project.
Take care.
Yep. Bye-bye. Was a good way to start. Okay, let's go next to Brad in Toronto. Good morning, Brad.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Good morning. One question I have. My friend at work was talking about he put a metal roof on his house, and it's about 10 years old. So he's all happy. He's very impressed. And then he went to look at the attic, and he says there's all kinds of mold in there. The guy didn't vent it properly, and going forward, he doesn't know what to do. I was suggesting... I'm a painter by trade, so I was hoping there's some product maybe you could put over the mold to negate it. That's my question.
Okay, if there's mold on the roof deck, usually they do. We had a couple. It's almost like an ice blasting they do to get it off the roof deck. And there are companies that specialize in doing it. I'm not sure if there's anything you can paint over it to get rid of it, because then basically if it's mold, you're just covering it up. You're not... basically killing the mold, if you hear where I'm coming from.
No,
there are two. Well, again, in terms of spray foam, I guess you could, but that's going to be a phenomenally expensive way to basically just cover over top of it. There are two companies on my website. One is called Fresh Start Environments.
Okay.
And the other one is Sick Building Solutions. I would probably get them before anything is done to inspect it before you decide where to go from there.
Great. That's a great answer, though. I never had an idea. So you're saying ice blasting. Crazy.
Yeah, they did that. We had one house, so it was gross. So they went, and I'd never seen it before either. And this is what, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is what they did, and they got the roof deck looking like brand new.
Crazy. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time and effort. You do a great job. Oh, okay. When I'm painting my house on the weekends, I listen to you all day, man. So I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, ciao.
You too. Take care. Ciao. Bye.
Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show with Frank Cohn on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Okay, I've got Sue, Aurora, Sean, and Chris holding, but I've got a couple of texts I want to go through with Chris first, so you guys just hold on. I would appreciate it. And, okay, this text was a proper way to install a fan in the ceiling of a bathroom that's not of a fan, and what trade should do this? I understand that a licensed electrician should install the fan, and the roofer should do the exhaust cap on the roof, but I've heard conflicting things about who should do the ductwork in the attic. Should an HVAC tradesperson do the ductwork, or should the roofer do it? Okay, Chris, I know you will install exhaust fans in bathrooms, correct?
Yeah, this is correct, and they were absolutely right. We install the exhaust fan, the wiring to the switch, because a lot of time the fan is, if there isn't a fan, we usually add a fan with a countdown timer beside it. So we do all of that stuff. We just ask that the roofers install the roof vent in the actual roof membrane. We've been installing the ductwork as well, but if you're more comfortable getting an HVAC trade in there, that's totally up to you. But it's not really necessary. We can install up to the outlet in the roof surface all the way to the fan with an insulated duct, of course.
Correct. Yeah, I guess the only concern is in terms of the roofer knowing where exactly to put the roof vent, because sometimes you don't want it being 20, 30 feet away from where the exhaust fan is. It should be as close to it as possible, because I know when we're renovating, usually I get one of my guys, they go up in the attic and they stick a nail through the roof so the roofer knows where to put the exhaust or the roof cap on. Another option is, no offense to Bernie Electric, who does all this for me, is Let It Rain Roofing and Home Renovations. They potentially, because they do roofing, they can potentially do the whole thing. I'm not sure who they use for electrical, and Chris, maybe you should contact them to grab their business.
That's a good point, Frank. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. Another text here for you. My lights are flicking throughout my house. Was told by one electrician this is a dimmer issue. Another electrician said it's my lights. How can I figure this out?
So the biggest thing that jumps out to me in that statement there is the fact that there's multiple lights throughout the house. So this could be an open neutral situation. It could be an open neutral within the home, or it could more than likely be an open neutral on hydro's end. But definitely worth having a licensed electrician, one of our guys, come out there and assess it, because I've seen issues with dimmers that aren't compatible with LED lights or vice versa. And so there could be a couple things there. But the big thing that jumps out to me is multiple lights throughout the home.
Right.
I would say open neutral.
Okay. And what have we got here? Good morning from Stouffville. I'm back from Vancouver. My buddy Mayor. He keeps texting me. You've got to come down to the car show so I can finally see who the heck you are. Okay, another text for Chris. What can I install in my home to prevent electrical surges from entering my home and damaging my smart TV and other appliances?
So the go-to for that one is the whole home surge protection. So that'll cover all the things inside your home, and it mounts right at the panel. And basically, as soon as the power comes in from the street, that's where we put the filter, the surge protector, and it'll protect everything downstream inside the house. Another thing I always recommend is on top of that, like that would be the first thing because it has the most absorption for like those really big lightning strikes and any of those other things that create surges in the home, is to just plug your TV into one of those high-end surge power bars as well. Because sometimes you can have a surge created inside of a home through an induction motor or something of that nature. So it's always better to have the TV plugged into one of those surge power bars, as well as have the whole home, just to protect the whole house from everything.
Do you, does Bernie Electric supply those?
We don't supply them. We just tell people if you're going to buy the power bar. But we do the whole home surge protection. We provide everything for that, the permits and all the stuff that's required.
No,
for
I was thinking of my bars. TV.
Yes,
I was thinking of my TV because I. Okay, because
sorry,
I know you've done everything at my place, and I don't have one of those other ones on my TV set. So where would I buy one of those?
Any of those really high-end computer shops, like you really don't want to cheap out. They're usually around the $60 to $100 range, but you want a good one. You don't want to go to like a discount store and pick up a junk one because that's not going to do anything for you. So always get like one that's good for computers and that sort of stuff.
Okay, one final text before we go back to the phones, and I've got two of them. I have a plug in my kitchen that has a test reset button that always pops out. Is this okay to just keep resetting, or is something else wrong? And another one, the test button on my washroom receptacles keeps popping. Is it okay to keep resetting it?
So if it keeps tripping, there's one of two things is the problem. It's either the actual plug itself is worn out and it just doesn't have the capacity to take the absorption that it's normally supposed to. So they just wear out over time if they keep tripping. Or it could be a faulty appliance that you're plugging into it. There could be something wrong inside the appliance where there's a ground fault created within it and it's actually doing its job and it's tripping the circuit. So I would try other appliances, like if you got like a hair dryer that keeps tripping the one in the bathroom, maybe get a new hair dryer, or you can just replace the receptacle, one or the other. But if you're definitely worried about it, you can call one of our electricians and we'll definitely come out there and sort that out for you.
What if you don't have any hair and you don't have a hair dryer like me?
Well, I don't know. Maybe your electric toothbrush.
We'll have to think of something. Oh, okay. I don't have any teeth. Okay. All righty. Okay. Back to the phones. Okay. Let's go to Sean in Toronto. Good morning.
Oh, hello, Frank. Last week it was raining constantly for 2 days, consistently. So our roof gave up. It was leaking on the southeast corner. Drip, drip, drip. So shall we get a patch job, or do we have to get the whole roof done?
Well, I guess that'll have to be up someone to inspect it. They'll have to look at the age of the roof. How, do you know how old it is?
20 years.
Okay, well, if you're at 20 years, you're really pushing it in terms of it probably needing to be replaced. But they can go up on the roof, check it, and see what the rest of it is. And if the rest of it's in great shape, then potentially could just repair that one area. And again, I would probably call one of two people, either Let It Rain or George Kent, because they're the two people I use. And that way you're going to get an honest answer.
Okay, that's a good idea. We need honest people, yeah. We don't want to, you know, somebody con job.
No, put this away. They'll go there, and if it doesn't need it, they'll let you know. But again, normally, there's a lot of good reputable roofers, and the only reason why I recommend these two companies because I've been dealing with them for decades. But if you get some fly-by-night guy, of course he's going to tell you right off the bat your roof is shot, whether it is or not.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Frank.
Okay, no worries. Have a great weekend.
You're a gifted man.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, we're going to go next to Sue in Burlington. Good morning, Sue.
Morning, Frank. How are you? I love your show.
Thank you. Still alive and breathing here.
That's great. Frank, last week you mentioned something about William who does tree trimming. I was looking for his number, if you have it.
Just one second here. I really have to update that website. The company is called Maple Run Incorporated.
Yep.
His phone number is 289-795-6599.
Okay. The other question I had, Frank, was last week you also mentioned something about if you're putting carpet in your basement, there's this product you have to buy to put on the cement.
I think what it was someone was asking about doing that. They wanted to know about the DMX One Step, about putting it under the carpet. Any product you buy, you have to see whether they recommend it or not. I know it depends on the house and the type of carpeting and everything else you're putting down. I've got carpeting directly on the concrete in my office, and it's been down for over 30 years, not an issue. But if you've got a damp basement, then either the DMX might be one potential or the dry core, which comes in sheets that are 2 feet by 2 feet. And underneath it, they have a plastic, it almost looks like a dimple-type paper that keeps the wood off the floor so you get air circulation. If there's a little bit of moisture, it's not going to damage anything, and then you can put the carpet on top of that. It would make it warmer.
Okay.
The other thing you have to look at, too, is the height of your ceiling, whether you have enough room, because that's going to bring it up about 3/4 of an inch or so.
Okay. Now, one other question. How do you know if your vent in your bathroom is venting properly to the attic?
Well, basically, you just go up and open the attic and look. You see where the exhaust fan, see if there's the ductwork going up through the roof, whether that ductwork is insulated, and whether it's on a proper dedicated vent or whether it's just stuck into one of the existing roof vents. Because if it's just stuck into one of the existing roof vents, it's not going to seal properly. You're going to get a lot of backflow basically coming back in the attic with moisture and everything else. And again, if you're not sure, again, you can call maybe one of the roofers I recommend who can go up there and check that at the same time, see whether you need more insulation or not.
Would that be Let It Rain?
Let It Rain or George Kent?
George who?
George Kent Home Improvements.
Oh, George Kent. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Frank. Well, thank you for your help.
Okay. No problem. Take care.
The Home Improvement Show continues on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Yeah, I just got a text from someone. They've tried to get to my website, and again, there's something wrong with it. It's not operating or showing anything. Mark, is that anything you need to do on your end, or is that something I need to do?
I think we've contacted our digital person.
Okay, well, someone just texted me. Apparently, it still isn't working. So
They can still go to newstalk1010.com, and if they go to the Home Improvement Show page, there's a link there that should have all of your contacts. But your old page, they still have to find a way to get that back up. I'm not sure when that's going to happen.
Okay, so I'll make a note of that future. Okay, thank you. Okay, where are we going next? We're going to talk to Aurora in Toronto. Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, go ahead.
We've been listening to your show for so many years. I just had some questions about my kitchen. I have a Corian countertop. My kitchen was installed, I'd say, at least 25 years ago. It started developing cracks at a corner, and it's just spreading. Is there a recommendation for someone who could repair that?
Did you put the kitchen in, or was that in the house when you bought it?
No, we put it in, like somebody put it
for us. Okay, I would try and contact, if you still have their name, the company that put it in. It is repairable. When Corian first came on the market, we did start doing a lot of them, and I discontinued putting it in, and I will not install it anymore because every single top we put in had that same problem in terms of cracking.
Okay. I did try to contact them a couple of times, started a couple of years ago, and they've never called me back. So I just wondered if
you had
any recommendations.
Okay, I would probably contact Corian because they'll probably have people that can do the repair for you, but I don't see it being an issue of it being repairable.
Okay. The other thing is, at the same time, we had maple cabinet doors put in. Of course, after all these years, they're starting to get worn. There's little chips and they're, finishing is coming off in spots. I don't know whether to replace the doors, or is there someone you could recommend that could maybe refinish the doors and
we've done a lot of those. There's a company called Paintcore. They're in Mississippi. P-A-I-N-T and another word C-O-R-E. They've done quite a few kitchens. We've actually done quite a few maple kitchens like yours, where they take all the door fronts and drawer fronts to their shop. They resand them down and they respray them. Then what they will do is, obviously, you've got to empty everything out of the cabinets. They'll seal off the kitchen completely with plastic. They bring a compressor in and they spray all the fronts and everything else that they can't take to the shop. If there's any damage, they can do that. If you want to change your handles, obviously the holes aren't the same for everyone, they can fill it and re-drill it to put the new handles on, and they make the kitchen look like it's brand new, and you get another 20 years out of it.
Okay, so that would be less expensive than actually replacing the cabinet doors, right?
Oh, it would be, well, put it this way, you probably be, depending on the size of the kitchen, you're maybe a low of 6 and a high of 10, potentially. What you can do is when you contact them, if you can send them a picture of it, they can then give you a price without having to come down and check it out. But to do a new kitchen, you'd be $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, as opposed to under 10 potentially.
Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. I'll try contacting Corey on themselves because I've tried contacting this guy and nothing comes.
Right. When you contact Paintcore, tell them I sent you because, and I always recommend this to anybody, if you're using any of the people I recommend, tell them that I sent you because then you're hopefully going to get quicker service and potentially a better price. Okay.
Thanks for the call, Aurora.
Okay.
Thank
no problem.
You, bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Let's go to Chris in Kitchener. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Frank. First time, long time.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
I just got a quick question. I got a dryer vent. I'm pretty handy. I'm a contractor myself, so
okay.
I don't know much about dryer vents. And the one that was installed in the house is incredibly long. So the laundry room's in the middle of a bungalow, so the vent doesn't go directly to the exterior wall. And it was all under a bulkhead for about 25 years. And last year, it recently got demolished, the basement. So it was plugged. So I bought one of those dryer brushes. I've been putting it in, and it still wasn't working. We had a guy come to check out the dryer. He said, it's working fine. I'm like, what the heck? So anyways, the vent was incredibly plugged in the middle of the vent. So, like, I was going in 10 feet on both ends, and it wasn't even touching the middle. So I took all my ductwork apart, and I cleaned it out properly. Now everything's working fine. But I'm now going to be putting the basement back together again. And I don't want the vent to be like that anymore, right? I want to shorten it up.
All right. Let me interrupt you here. Are you using solid metal ducting, or are you using that white corrugated stuff?
It's solid for, I'd say, 90%, and the last, it's got about four elbows in it, for Pete's sake. And the last little bit from the outside to the inside is the flex tube.
Okay. Yeah, well, the elbows are a big issue because obviously it's restricting airflow.
Sorry to interrupt, but the question I have is where the laundry room is, directly adjacent to it, is the door for the garage. It's only about maybe 6-7 feet. Would it be possible if I just would go directly into the garage with my dryer vent? It's underneath the steps and stuff too. It would be like, would that pose a problem in the garage?
You're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place with this one, because there's not going to be any good answer.
Yeah, if I go up into the attic, that's going to be another 20-30 feet straight up.
Yeah. And also the dryer's trying to force that air up, in which case it's, I don't know how effective that's going to be. I'm not sure what the building code says for putting a dryer duct in the garage. But the way I'm looking at it is, from a safety point of view, if you've got the stuff accumulating in the ductwork, that's a risk of fire.
Oh yeah.
As opposed to going in the garage where you're going to have a bit of a moisture issue. Can you go into the garage? I'm short on time here. Can you go into the garage and then take it outside from the garage?
Sort of, yeah. If I go, not really, because then to the left-hand side where it's closer is underneath my front porch, which is a big cantina.
Okay, well, maybe you got to move.
I know.
You get a house, we don't have that problem.
Okay, I think I might risk it, because it's a big garage. Like, it's really tall garage, and it's a double car sucker, so it's not like it's, I don't know.
I think you're probably safer going through the garage, and if anyone disagrees with me or has a reason why we can't do that, I'm sure they'll text me, and so just keep listening, okay?
Hence the call, my friend. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Cheers.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. All right, I want to go back to some electrical text here for Chris. Just scrolling down here. Oh, here's one. Frank, we had a mammoth gas stove installed that had a Lego set worth of strange electrical connections that Bernie and the electrician there was Derek was able to solve. That was from my buddy Jay. He had Derek and Chris do most of the work for me, and Shane, the three of them, on all my projects. Okay, here's a good one for you, Chris. I'm looking to have my home insurance renewed and was told I have knob and tube. Does the ERA cover this, and will my insurance company accept your report?
Absolutely. That's a perfect reason to get an ERA. So what we do is we'll go through the home, do the inspection like I described in the beginning of the show there, and we'll generate a report, a detailed report of what needs to be remedied. So once we get in the knob and tube, we always recommend rewiring the house. That's the best fix for a long-term thing. So when we rewire the house, all the knob and tube is eliminated from the house. There's nothing left that's powered by knob and tube. And it's minimal damage to do it as well, as you know. But when we get the inspection from the Electrical Safety Authority, they give us a certificate of acceptance. The certificate of acceptance is what most insurance companies want to see. You can also give them our report too, to show them how detailed and thorough we were with the inspection. But what they're really looking for is the certificate from ESA. So once we clean up all the knob and tube, we'll give you that, and then that you hand off to your insurance company, and you're good to go. Same with aluminum positioning too.
This is the Home Improvement Show with Frank Cohn on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Yes, welcome back. And someone just advised me via Mark Tang at the studio about the gentleman, I believe it was Chris in Kitchener, who wanted to potentially put his dryer duct somewhere else. And we were talking about maybe in the garage. And I said, I don't think there's a problem with that. And then all of a sudden someone texts, are you kidding me? Carbon monoxide in your car, that's going to allow it to go into the house. So definitely do not put it in the garage. And someone else had mentioned there are, and I've never used them, you can vent sometimes the dryer in the house, there's a little contraption you buy that collects any moisture and lint in it. I'm not a big fan of that, but in your case, that might be something else you could look at. So it's basically, you'll have it almost right beside the dryer in the house, and you don't have to use that long duct run. But do not, I repeat, do not put it into the garage. Okay, and for those of you trying to get to my website, apparently if you go to newstalk1010.com and go to the Home Improvement Show, you might be able to get to the website that way. And I guess the tech support is working on the other way to get to my website. Okay, where am I going? Let's go to Al in Toronto. Good morning, Al.
Hi, Frank. I'm sorry, I couldn't find anything on your website at all. But what I'm looking for is air conditioning. But the thing is, I have radiators in the home. Do you have anybody that deals with that at all?
Well, again, Atlas Care could potentially do that. They usually mount a unit on the outside of the house that will then provide air conditioning inside. Or another gentleman you could potentially call is Adam at Adam Mechanical.
Okay.
Those are the two contacts. Now, again, if you, yeah, the, both of them are on my website. And again, try going to newstalk1010.com and clicking on to the Home Improvement Show. You may be able to get to the website that way.
Okay. That sounds great. Okay. I appreciate it.
Good. Okay.
Take it easy.
Thanks a lot. You too. Bye-bye. Okay. I'm just going through this. Good morning. I've heard about risk of faulty wiring at homes. My house is 20 years old. Am I at risk? How often should a home's electrical system be checked? That's from Michael in Toronto.
So the electrical system should be checked on average about every 10 years. That's what insurance companies are looking for with the aluminum wiring and all that. However, it depends on how much use the home's getting. Like if you've got rental apartments and it's just getting like heavily abused, people are plugging stuff in all the time, lots of people living in there, you might need it a little more frequently. But like having said that, we've gone into homes that are basically brand new and they're like 6 months old and we've found deficiencies in them, right? Like, so it really is more so like the amount of strain you're putting on the house. I hope that answers the question.
Right. Okay. But put it this way, 20-year-old home, if he's never had it done, it's not going to hurt him to have it checked. Okay.
Yeah.
If I have a 40-amp outlet that isn't in use, can I rework it to use for the electrical vehicle charger?
So we see this often with people with gas ranges. They free up the electrical receptacle behind the range. However, there is a chance that if they sell the house, somebody new might want to put an induction stove or some other electric type of range in its place and remove the gas one. So we always try to avoid messing with any of the wiring of the stove. However, if it's not being used, we can use the breaker placement. But, like, I mean, Nick, you didn't really solve the problem. The best way to do this is a panel upgrade, or even if you already have, if you don't have any space, you can get like a larger panel. You don't necessarily have to upgrade the amperages. You just get more circuit spaces. That's the best remedy. But I mean, like, it is doable, but you kind of euchre yourself in the future if you decide to go back to electric rate.
Cool. Okay, I've got 3 minutes left here before I've got to get off air, so I want to go through some of these real quick. Oh, what kind of car was that I was talking about selling? I missed it. It's a 73 Buick Riviera GS that I am selling, and if you're interested, you can call me and I can bring it down to the car show and you can take a look at it. Okay, where else here? Electrical. I recently purchased an electric car and bought a 19.2 kilowatt charger to be installed in my garage. What is the average cost to install it? That's from Marco.
So it totally depends on how far away the panel is from the garage. There's quite a few things that need to be answered there to get an accurate price. But I believe we're starting the installs around $1,500 on average, depending, though. So don't take that for what it's worth. It's better to call the office and have Christian come out and assess it, because it could be really easy. It could be the panel could be right beside the garage where you want it. So.
Okay, and we're trying to do this one quick, Chris. I'm also in a generator. What is involved in installation? Do I need a separate installer for gas? That's from Michael from Toronto.
We handle the whole process. So we handle all the permits, all the stuff with hydro, the disconnects. We do all the gas work. We do the trenching. We do everything. And it's on average, it's about two days to do the whole install. And yeah, so it's quick, painless. We just deal with all the nonsense. So you don't have to get any other contractors involved.
Okay. Okay, let's go next to Bob in Sparrow Lake. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Frank. I'm doing a kitchen reno. I have 22 feet of arborate countertops I'm replacing with quartz. And the problem I'm addressing here is the backsplash, which is stone that was glued on, you know, a few years ago. I'm trying to remove that myself. Any tips on that?
A hammer and chisel. Is there drywall behind it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then, because we've done a lot of these, we just basically rip it out right back to the drywall, take the drywall out with whatever's attached to it, and put some drywall back on, and all the backsplashes we've been doing now, whatever countertop material we use, which has generally been quartz, we have them do the quartz backsplash, so that way you have almost zero grout lines. It looks better and easier to keep clean.
That's exactly my route I'm taking. So,
yeah.
Okay, hammer and chisel is the answer.
Yeah, but I would take the drywall off behind it as well, because you may be able to cut under the top of the cabinet and the bottom of the cabinet, get to the drywall, get a pry bar, and then yank the whole thing out with the drywall and the stone all attached. You may find that may work easier.
Good idea. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay. My smoke alarm upstairs keeps beeping throughout the day. Does this mean I need to replace? There are many models. Which one should we get? Strobe and talk.
So it could be a couple things. It could be the backup batteries expired on that thing. That's usually the most common that we see. It could just be it's at the end of its life, so it's giving its chirps. There's various brands. It doesn't really matter. It's more like what's compatible with what you already have. I mean, if you're changing the whole house, then it doesn't matter. You can pick any brand you want. We like Kitty personally, but there's many other brands. But if it's just the same one, if you're just replacing the one unit, you want to pair it with the brands that you already have in the rest of the house.
Okay. Well, that's it for me. I've got tons of callers and texts I couldn't get to. I'm sorry. Try doing earlier and so we can get you, or tell everybody to start giving me a two-hour show. Anyways, I'll talk to everybody next week. Remember, let's keep our city clean. Stop throwing your garbage out of the car windows. Take it home. And coming up next, Dr. Clayton Greenway and Animal House.